Hello, welcome to the Lyrically Correct Podcast. It's your boy Antonio.
And it's your girl Nina.
Hey guys, it's Chris.
And it's Wheezy Baby.
Let's get into this shit.
Okay, baby. Today's episode is about ending the relationship. We've all been in that limbo period where we don't know where to end the relationship, when to start a new one, or just be by ourselves. So Nina, why do you think it's hard to move on from a past relationship?
I think it's difficult to move past or end a relationship for a couple reasons. One, a lot of times we're comfortable in the relationships that we're in, even if there are a lot of, you know, low points and a lot of things that could be better or could be fixed. Most times we're just comfortable. We're comfortable with having someone there, even if that someone isn't meeting all of your needs. Another reason it might be difficult to end a relationship is because you don't know what it's like outside of a relationship. So you're one who seems to always be with somebody. You're one who's never really had any alone time. The thought of coming home to an empty house might be foreign to you. The idea of not having anyone to turn to meet your sexual needs, to meet your financial needs, to meet your emotional needs, is frightening. And so we take our time. Sometimes we just invest a lot in people, invest a lot of time, money, energy, guidance. And so we feel like we're taking a huge L when we leave, and so we are hesitant or we drag our feet when exiting that relationship.
So I guess what most people want to understand is, how do you effectively grieve a relationship that's ending? I know for me in relationships, whether it's friendships or romantic relationship, because I think that people need to understand the difference and the similarities of both. How do you go about it? Like, what are the necessary healthy steps to take? I know in personal experiences, you've given me advice, people have given me advice, but it always doesn't stick the same. So what is the core that people should do or utilize, or tools that people should utilize to effectively grieve in a relationship that's ending?
Yeah. I'm not, just a disclaimer for our listeners, I'm not like a relationship coach or anything, but I would just tell my friends or like people who, you know, I have an ear of, you're gonna have to lean into those feelings of uncertainty, those feelings of like grief. Like, there's no other way to put it. You are losing something. If any of you listening have ever lost someone to death, or, you know, they've not to death, but you lost someone that resulted in a death, it means they're physically not here, and that's a type of grief that
cut you off. But the ending of a relationship feels the equivalent to you losing someone,
right? And it could be worse because you know that this person is still walking around, you know, this person is still living their life. If you live in the same city as your significant other, you might bump into them, you might bump into their parents, siblings, kids. So, you know, you're grieving somebody who's still living, and you're grieving the memories that you guys shared. And I think there's nothing else to do but lean into all that. Acknowledge that I'm actually about to feel really shitty because I'm leaving this relationship that might have at one time served my needs, but now is no longer serving my needs, and so I need to move on. That can exist at the same time as you physically stepping out of a situation that is no longer serving a purpose for you. I think a lot of times people try not to feel that. And that's why they stay in relationships. People try not to feel the crushing sorrow. People try not to feel the loneliness. People try not to feel the regret, the anger, the guilt. You have to feel all of that to then make the next step, which is moving past that, figuring out who you are now that you've had this experience. But you can't get there until you allow yourself to feel.
Do you think, this is a really great question, but do you think that when you end a relationship, I know a lot of people who say, okay, this is done, I'm over it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about amicable breakups and keeping in communication? Or how do you feel like yeah, we said we're going to break up, but maybe 6 months, a year, 2 years, 5 years, whatever it may have you, mm-hmm. we revisit this to see if we matured. I know for me, I was not the type of person to say, let's amicably break up and still be kiki and kakan. And then also within current situations, I also wasn't someone who felt the need to leave and then revisit. Do you think those choices are healthy?
It can be if the both of you are on the same page, and if the reason that you're splitting is to do some sort of work to then re-enter your relationship as kind, not reforms, but kind of just like with some new skills to bring into the relationship. Okay. So the first one is if you are one who, or a couple who have an amicable breakup and you decide to still be in contact, I think that just requires a lot of communication. What does it look like when we see each other out? Mm-hmm. What does it look like when you see that I'm dating either party
yeah.
is dating somebody new? That doesn't mean that you're texting me all of a sudden like you have feelings again, right? Or have mm-hmm. feelings that mm-hmm. we're going to entertain again, because yeah. you can certainly have feelings. But it's messy when you have an amicable breakup and then you see partner A is entertaining somebody else. And so you decide to send risque texts for the sole purpose of sabotaging what they have going on. On the other hand, if you are in a relationship where you're like, we both need to take a step back, but we're going to get back together, make a plan. Nothing is more shitty than trying to do the same thing over and over, expecting something different. Don't break up for 6 months.
Insanity.
Come back together and have done absolutely no work on yourself. Get a life coach, get a therapist, talk to your religious persons.
And both parties have to be willing.
Right. Both parties have
not
to be willing to
not her.
Do the work. I mean, it just really, that I've rarely seen. Because, or no, we've seen it. We've seen it with, like, celebrities, right? So, the other thing is, too, you're on a break, and that means you can do whatever the hell you want. But also acknowledge, like, if you're a guy, and you're out here fucking, and you get somebody pregnant, and then you decide to get back with the person that you had planned to get back with, and he or she no longer wants to be with you. You have to honor that. Because while you guys were on a break, and you guys did have free reign, in 6 months, partner B might have done so much work on themselves that they realize that I actually don't want to be with you at all. Mm-hmm. Or I actually don't want to be with you because of the choices you made during mm-hmm. our break, and so period. We're not going to get back together.
Okay, so that is a good statement. Is that fair, though? Because at the end of the day, we've decided to break up and figure it out. Let's say that there is a child involved.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, that boundary is, oh, well, girl,
mm-hmm.
that's on you. And this person is like, oh, my God, no, I really didn't mean it. Do I still have to hold myself accountable to take to myself, Antonio, you've said that go figure life out.
Mm-hmm.
We never discussed that a child was a boundary to not be broken.
Mm-hmm.
We've never discussed X, Y, and Z, whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
Dating someone to mm-hmm. be a boundary. And now you come back to me and be like, hey, I know I had a child, but I also know I want to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong for feeling like, oh, well, you had a child.
No.
We're done.
No.
Okay.
I don't feel like that's wrong only because at the end of the day, nobody's going to tell me that I have, like, plans always change. That's mm-hmm. number one.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, if we're supposed to be getting back together, then we're probably communicating. We might have gone to some, you know, couples therapy sessions. We might have done some retreat or whatever it is that you guys plan to do. We're going to take a 6 month break and we have no communication. At least it shouldn't be that.
Yeah.
Because you all should still be holding each other accountable in an appropriate way.
Mm-hmm.
If I were dating a guy who I got on a 6 month break or however long break with, and where I'm in therapy, he's in therapy, we've done some couples counseling, we might have worked on some things with some other couples who are, you know, on the rocks or whatever, and then we entertain, like, we bring up the topic of, okay, so should we get back together? And he says, well, I have to tell you that I got this girl pregnant. I have all right to say, you know, I still love you. I, you know, we worked on ourselves to be in a relationship, but I'm actually not going to date somebody who has fathered somebody else's child. And that's my choice. And when we entered the conversation, we didn't need to talk about kids because kids weren't a thing.
Okay.
But now it is. Now we, like, we can both make that choice. I mean, the guy can't say, well, you have to date me because I did the work on myself. Like, that's not how it works.
And also, not to cut you off, is that, and for me, not only did you have a child, but I'm the type of person to be like, so you put your raw penis in someone else. Like, to me, that's a heavy, a heavy layer to unpack, because trust, like, you, and within 6 months of us, you mean to tell me in 6 months you trust somebody where you felt like, oh yeah, we can have unprotected sex, and then after 6 months, I don't give a damn what testing is available. To me, it just shows about how you are, your character, how you move. And now, because yes, we are both attracted to, you're in a same-sex relationship, I obviously like men. But for me, it's like, in that period of time, you knew that you were with somebody you don't know. Yeah. And that was the consequence. So now that has happened, or that has transpired, it's a baby involved. Mm-hmm. Now you want to cry?
Yeah.
You knew that was a possibility.
Right.
So that's also why I would be like, nah. Yeah. Because I'm not saying you can't do what you need to do or whatever you need to figure out. But you went far, my man. You went really far before you said, oh, nah, this is where I needed to be. So I can understand why people feel like, oh, nah, this is a boundary that I don't want to blur the lines. I don't want to push back or move forward. I totally get that. On today's episode, just so you guys know, the two songs that influence this topic is Lauryn Hill's X Factor and LaToya Luckett's Torn. Two classics. Within Lauryn Hill's X Factor, I think one of the biggest lessons we've learned, or what she taught us, was reciprocity. Google it if you don't know. We should not be telling you, but figure it out. And that's about reciprocating not only what's giving out, what I'm giving out and what you're getting. It's also about kind of reciprocating what you said. Right. If you told me you were going to be X, Y, and Z, your actions should follow what you told me.
Right. And that can also be why a relationship ends, because what's being put into the relationship from partner A isn't also being reciprocated from partner B. And so then it becomes a strain on one partner and not the other. And so, like, Lauryn Hill's line, like, one of her most quoted lines. Who I have to gain reciprocity. See, no one loves you more than me. And no one ever will. To get some reciprocity. And it's just like, so if I'm your girl and I can't get reciprocity from you, then who the fuck do I need to be? Because because you're not, like, you're not putting in what I'm putting in, right? One thing that I always used to say as a teacher was match my tone. You need to match my tone. Like, and if you don't match my tone, then we're not going to work long term.
And you know what I've learned from past relationships that I've been in is people get off on the fact that, like, man, I told you this is who I was. But if every day since you told me that you're showing me a different person, why am I supposed to lean on what you said as word is bond? Like, I don't understand that. If you told me that you weren't a cheater, but you ended up cheating, you're now a cheater. If you told me that I would never do this to you, I did this to X, Y, and Z of a person, and you did it to me, that now speaks to your character. I don't understand why we get caught up on this whole, well, I said I wasn't going to do it, because I feel like you telling me what you're going to do is a gray area. I feel like you telling me and showing me is black and white.
Right.
Because I can tell you, Nina, I'm going to be your best friend for life. And then you do something to me that I'd be like, that's a little sketchy. And instead of communicating that to you, I go off however I thought you were supposed to move. Oh, I was supposed to move, excuse me.
Yeah.
And now, but you have the right to say, well, girl,
right.
That wasn't even how I was trying to move. But now you showed me who you are.
Yeah.
And so I don't think people get that. It's like, saying one thing is different, but when you move, your actions show who you truly are. At least for me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that shows me who you truly are.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
So, in reciprocating, if you say I'm always going to be there for you, I mean, a lot of people think about marriage. It says, to death do us part.
Mm-hmm.
And we can look at it, it could be corny and be a little joke, but Idris Elba's wife and him having coronavirus, she took her vow very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm going to stand next to my man.
Yeah, right.
But a lot of you people won't do that.
Right.
A lot of you people be like, oh, you need to quarantine for 14 days.
Mm-hmm.
Death do us part.
Yeah.
You live, I live. You die, I die. It might seem aggressive, but those are actually something that you sign and agree to.
Right.
And I think that people need to take relationships more serious. And that's why people in relationships, because it's like, okay, we walk in, or so we think we walk into a relationship.
Yeah.
With the same mind frame and the same thought process, and this is how we.
I don't know if I would have stayed with Idris though, because I wouldn't have wanted to get him like more sick, or like if he gets sick and then I get sick and then he gets sick again, or if he doesn't get sick, like if there is immune. I haven't really read up on the immunity about coronavirus, but I would just, I don't know. I think I would obviously miss him and try to do things to let him know I miss him, like slip letters under the door and, you know, like just little cute corny shit. Like, I'm still here for you, but listen, I'm not trying to get the coronavirus. Like, or because it's just like, I mean, yeah, like you're sick,
you know,
but I
get what you're saying. But for me, I'm one of those, you said I was a hopeless romantic. I'm one of those people who, like, I feel like I'm a type of person, if I'm in a relationship to you, I'm catering to my man.
Mm-hmm.
If you sick, not saying that I'm sick, but I'm going into that room. Mm-hmm. Do you need water? Do you need this? Do you need that?
Mm-hmm.
Do you need this? Like, a kiss on the forehead, kiss on the cheek. I'm gonna lay next to you because I'm a big baby when I get sick,
mm-hmm.
no matter what it is. And I really turn into a baby. Oh, I can't do this. I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
And that comforting is what I need.
Yeah.
So if you're feeling ill, I'm definitely going to hop in there. That's just me, though.
Right.
So I get your point, but I'm just saying as far as when it comes to reciprocating energy, that's just who I am.
Right.
You need something, I'm going to be there for you.
Yeah. I have a question about ending the relationship. Is it ever okay to ghost someone?
Because
we're in this ghosting culture right now.
Okay, let me give you this. Okay. I'm going to say I understand why people ghost people. But I do think that ghost is, and help me to see if I'm using this correctly, is a handicap. Because I feel like people in our generation don't know how to express their feelings and deal with emotions and feelings. So the best way I can do that is ghosting you. So therefore, I can hide communication. I can hide how I feel. Maybe if I cut you off and not have any visibility, whether it's blocking on social media, whether it's cutting all communication from me, I necessarily are, in a way, numbing my feelings so that I don't have to deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in that aspect, ghosting is not okay.
Okay.
If I say to you, hey, this is going to be a lot for me. I need some time. I need some space. I'm going to take a break. I know we're on a break, but I don't even want you to check in. I just want time to myself.
Mm-hmm.
And you can say, oh, quote unquote, I ghosted you. I think that's fine because you are still keeping in communication of your needs and what's not going to work and what is going to work for you. People just going off of the grid and being like, oh, we ended, boom. And you pop back up and be like, oh, I figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm.
So in certain aspects, I do feel like ghosting is a completely utter bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
It's just an excuse for people not to really sit with their emotions. Because if I tell you, oh, I don't want to do this no more, and I don't necessarily have to sit in my emotions and figure it out. I can go about and find a new partner, do this, do X, Y, and Z.
Right.
And then one day something happens or a memory jogs or is triggering, and
mm-hmm.
now you feel like, oh, damn, I did leave so-and-so back there. Mm-hmm. That's not cool. That's corny.
Yeah.
To me, at least.
Yeah.
To me.
I think that ghosting is only, like, okay if it's, like, a domestic violence situation or, you know, something along those lines. Of course, if you need to protect yourself, then do that. Even if that means just dropping off the face of the planet. But, like, it definitely hurt. I don't think I've ever been ghosted, but I know, well, again, no, I don't think I've ever been ghosted, but I have certainly dropped off the face of the planet in the eyes of other people. I can imagine, but we weren't in a relationship. So, and I know that it was probably, like, hindsight, it's still shitty. But I would hate to have someone make me feel the way that I'm sure they felt, whether we were in a relationship or not. But ghosting is not a way to end a relationship, especially with somebody who you have invested so much time and energy into. Like, that's,
I think it's childish.
Old, like, yeah, be mature enough to just talk through your shit and own up to your shit and then feel whatever shit is coming your way. Honestly.
Period. What boundaries are necessary when you transition into a new relationship? I know we discussed earlier about amicable relationships, but if I express to my new partner that me and so-and-so are in a space where we're cool, where we don't have to, where there are no feelings, there are nothing that's triggering, we are good like that, how do I make my new partner feel like this is true? This is a boundary that I will not break.
What's the example?
Like, say, for instance, I would say a boundary in transitioning to a new relationship. Mm-hmm. So say if I am now seeking a new relationship, but now I say my new partner, okay, well, this is actually a close friend of mine, or this is actually a friend of mine, but this is actually my ex. But we're good over there. Is that boundary, like, is that too much for certain people? Like, is that something that, I guess, to you, would you feel like, oh, nah, we ain't playing that
game? I think it depends on who you're dating. And that would just be honesty is always the best policy, clearly. Being transparent, being, like, just really straightforward in your wants and then your partner's, and trying to meet your partner's wants is going to make for the best relationship, regardless. For me, though, I wouldn't want the person I'm dating to be friends with their ex right after they got out of a relationship.
But at any point, could they be?
That would be up to them. I wouldn't really be here for it, and I wouldn't want, like, don't, like, we're not going out as a group. I'm not going out as a group with your ex.
So would you rather them hang out separately, privately, or?
I mean, no. But, like, I also am a strong believer in there are two individuals inside of a relationship. And so if the person that I'm dating wants to be friends with their ex and go out with their ex, I'm going to clearly state how I feel. Mm-hmm. And then it's up to them to take whatever action they feel is necessary to respect my boundaries and our relationship and then themselves.
Does that thus hurt your current relationship? Because from what I'm hearing, you're not okay with it at all. But you're letting them know that you're not okay with it. But it's like, oh, well, do what you want to do anyway.
It's not necessarily do what you want to do anyway, but it's you need to take the information that was given. You need to take the information that was given to you, and you, after analyzing that information, need to make the best choice. Now, because it's not really a test, but it's just like, if I tell you that I'm not comfortable with you being friends with your ex, I was never ever the type of partner to say, you can't talk to them, you can't delete their shit, block them. I was never the type. You are still an individual. You are still an individual in this relationship. You are still an individual in this marriage. I'm going to give you the facts clearly and concise.
But are you saying that so that they thus make the decision of, I'm not going to be a friend?
Would be the decision that I would think that they would make, but I don't have any expectations Because we all analyze information differently.
Okay.
Some people might try to take the information and make it work for them, but that just lets you know that that person is not really for you then.
I'm only teetering on that line because it does come off a little bit of passive aggressive. Like,
okay.
I'm not saying that you can't be, but I'm bothered. But if I'm not saying that it bothers me and you can't do it, and then I do it.
But if I say I don't want you to,
mm-hmm.
but you have to make the decision to take that action, I'm not going to force you
mm-hmm.
to do anything. But I'm being very clear.
No, okay.
I don't want, like, my fiance now, I don't want her to be friends with her exes. She knows that. But what I also, and we all talk about this all the time, you are an individual. And you have to make up your mind for yourself. I was never the type of partner to, I'm not that controlling.
Mm-hmm.
But I am going to tell you how I feel. Mm-hmm. And then you need to govern yourself accordingly or not. Because I feel like that's borderline toxic. I'm about to be in here ruling who you can and can't hang out with. I'm going to tell you how I feel. You make the decision on how to move.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not skating around it. I'm not saying, well, I mean, it's all right, I guess. No, I don't like that. But you're the one that has to make the final call. I'm not making that call for you.
Okay, I get that. I think I now see it slightly differently based off of a few past experiences. I think it's the level of what the relationship is. If I know that you always tripping off shorty, please don't bring them around. But if I've been in a space where I know that you guys are exes and there is never going to happen, I don't mark my words, okay, people? Do not mark my words. But as of right now, I'll be okay with it. If it's not showing any signs of where it can fall back. Because there has been, you know, I'm actually friends with people that I've dealt with, whatever. And to me, when it was brought up to my case of like, oh, well, you're doing X, Y, and Z, I was like, ooh,
mm-hmm.
we ain't doing that. But when I looked at my life, I have people that I'm still cool with and I can hang around with that I've dated,
mm-hmm.
that I call my boyfriend, that I've been in some type of situation or relationship with, whether it's a boyfriend and boyfriend relationship, I have been in relationships with you. And I'm like, okay, now I get it. So I solely think it depends on who you are, what the relationship was, how deep the relationship was, and how do you feel about that person? Because I kind of agree with you as far as I don't want to tell you who you should and be around and be friends with and whatever, but I am that bitch to be like, you're not hanging around with them. And that's only if it's triggering to me, if I feel like something more than what you're putting out there.
Mm-hmm.
And then to your point, if you move accordingly, then I'm gonna...
I don't like that they would hang out with their ex,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't sit well with you. You don't trust it. You don't whatever. And then they do it anyway. That action has shown you pretty much all you need to know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I mean. Like, you don't have to be so, and I'm not.
And you wait till they
I was
fall asleep,
never. I was.
And you cut their balls off.
No, I wouldn't say all that. But I was
and
never.
Said you cut their balls off.
I was never the type. I was never with the rah-rah shit. I've only dated two people, like, seriously dated two people, and those two people both knew this is where I stand. Now it's the ball's in your court. Like, and if you decide to do whatever and it don't sit right with me, then I could bounce. Because obviously how I felt after I communicated that to you
wasn't enough.
Right. It wasn't enough for you to then make actions, make the decision to make actions that weren't going to make me feel away.
Okay. I can dig it. How about you guys let us know what you think?
Yeah. How do you guys go about ending relationships? We'd like to know. Hit us up at our Gmail, lyricallycorrectpodcast@gmail.com.
Okay. And thanks for tuning in.
Yes. See you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.